This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Sport is supposed to bring us together. It's where we find teammates, community, and belonging. But for many LGBTQ+ people, stepping onto the field or into the club rooms can still come with questions about whether it's truly safe to be themselves. Well, new results from the Pride in Sport Index National Survey have just been released, looking at the real experiences of people across the Australian sporting community, from players and coaches to volunteers and officials. So what are the numbers telling us about inclusion in sport right now? Well, joining us is Ben Cork, National Program Manager at Pride in Sport. Ben, welcome to Drive.
Hi, thanks for having me.
The Pride in Sport Index survey looks at real experiences across clubs and organisations around the country. What stood out most to you in this year's results?
Yeah, so this survey has been running for about 8 years now, and this is the biggest sample size we've ever had, and it represents all a hugely diverse range of different roles within sport, from CEOs all the way down to participants and parents. And what is becoming really clear as the data set grows is that there's a really interesting and stark difference between what people in positions of power believe is happening and what is actually happening on fields and stadiums and pools around the country. And so these data and insights give us a really clear picture of where we need to focus our efforts if we're going to make a change and improve what that experience is like for athletes and volunteers and officials across the country.
Let's talk about that difference a little bit. Where does the effort need to be focused?
In terms of support for inclusion and allyship, I think the role of coaches is one that needs a heavier focus in the future. Coaches are so integral in creating that team culture and setting an expectation of respect and safety for people within their teams. And to this point, the level of education that's been offered to coaches, or the priority or importance that's been placed on that, we haven't really seen that. And so I would love to see if clubs and administrators are looking for one area to focus on, let's start thinking about how we can support our coaches to sort of demand a level of respect within their own team. And that's true of our own community, LGBTQ people, but it's also true of all abilities, of cultural diversity, of our First Nations population. Sport needs to take a look at itself and have a think about, it's a really important part of our community, and it's a space that everyone should feel safe and should feel welcome.
One stat that really caught my attention was only about half of respondents agreed there are more than two genders. What does that tell you about where sport is in its understanding right now?
It tells me that we need to have more conversations and more opportunities to share lived experience with people at a community level. If you look at that statistic and break it down, that figure is a lot higher. The level of understanding and awareness is a lot higher when we look at people who are paid employees of sporting organizations, people who've had access to education, people who've had access to activities and events that raise that awareness. So I'm concerned by that statistic, but to me, what that statistic shows us is that where we put effort, we see impact. We've been putting effort in the last decade into governance, into leadership, into policy, and now it's time for us to pivot and start turning that policy into a practice on the front line.
I'm not surprised by this. The research is showing that queer people report lower feelings of belonging and safety in sport. What kinds of situations tend to contribute to that experience?
Look, it's a huge spectrum of experiences that starts with these sort of, minor microaggressions and does go all the way up to serious incidents of bullying, harassment and abuse. But I think we often focus on the big ticket items, but we forget that the reason most people disconnect from sport is that they're just tired of these small incidents that send messages that they're not welcome, that they're not accepted and that they're not right. And so we really need to focus holistically on that culture of respect. We do need to focus absolutely on violence against LGBTQ communities and that sort of upper level bullying and harassment. But just as important to me is what are we doing at a club level to make sure that people are being spoken to, being included, being respected and being listened to in a way that raises the sort of faith that we have in integrity processes at the moment, because there's not a lot of faith in integrity out there. People underreport, they don't make complaints, they just quietly step away. And that's a real shame, because sport is such a wonderful part of our communities, and such a wonderful part of the LGBTQ community, of the LGBTQ experience. We want people to stay connected, to be protected, and to enjoy the benefits that sport brings.
We're chatting with Ben Cork, National Program Manager at Pride in Sport, about the latest Pride in Sport Index survey. And also we'll get to the finalists for this year's Pride in Sports Awards shortly. Just on that bullying and harassment, Ben, what role do teammates and allies play in stepping up when that behaviour does happen?
It's a great point. And look, if anyone's interested in reading the full insights report, there are two of them available on our Pride in Sport website, prideinsport.com.au, and allyship is a huge part of looking into this, because we know that across sport, there are a lot more allies than we believe. There are a lot more people in there who believe in inclusion but don't feel equipped to speak out, don't feel equipped to stand up. And that's really disappointing. That's one of the things that we need to support sports to do, is to help people understand their superpower as allies. And allyship isn't a one-size-fits-all model. Everyone has to think about what their own superpower might look like. And I think some people let, you know, perfection be the enemy of good. Calling out these behaviors when we see them doesn't need to be perfect, but we need to stop doing nothing. So Okay. Some people might use it as a teachable moment. Some people might try and use humor. Some people like to stick with integrity and demand that everyone follows the rules as written. And all of those responses are absolutely okay. People just need to think about, you know, when this happens, and it will happen, particularly in the world we live in today, when this happens, what will I do? And we can rehearse that in our head and be ready, because that opportunity will present itself, and it's really important that we all step up as allies.
I think it is important to be ready as well, because you don't know when it will happen as well. And rather than panic and think, well, how do I deal with this in this moment, to have that prepared response and say, you know what, I've got this and I know what to do.
Absolutely, absolutely. And look, you can always throw us under the bus. You can always say, hey, I read a thing from Pride in Sport that said, boom, boom, boom. It doesn't always need to be a major thing. Just doing anything is a great step forward.
One other thing, I noticed that fewer people said they're fully out in their team or organisation. What do you reckon's driving that?
Look, I think it's interesting to read that. We know that we're experiencing lower levels of wellness and belonging and comfort, and we're seeing lower levels of people who are comfortable to be open and honest with their teammates around them. We have to remember that coming out or being open in this country is still a privilege. It's still a risk. And it being able to be authentic and being able to share that part of your life with those people around you, you know, is an amazing gift. And it brings benefits, and it brings comfort and support and community and authenticity in a really wonderful way. But it also opens you up to risk. It also can at times make you a target. And so at any time, people in sport and people in our broader communities will be weighing up, does this feel safe right now? Does this feel as though the benefits of doing this will outweigh the risks that I'm facing? And I think particularly over the last 18 months, unfortunately, we're living in a world where those risks are louder and more confident than they have been in a very long time. So it's a difficult time to be LGBTQ in sport. That's not new, but I think we need to double down now and reaffirm our commitment to figuring this out, because these trends are not trending in the way we'd like to see them go, and we don't want this situation to get any worse.
Ben, something positive, the Pride in Sports Awards, they're coming up in Melbourne, I think April the 14th. What do these awards recognise?
These awards are a highlight of the sporting calendar. If you want to experience the most inspiring, the most invigorating, the most fabulous and celebratory bunch of people that exist in Australian sport, get along to the Pride in Sport Awards. There are two parts to the awards. Half of the awards are peer-nominated categories. So people have actually, community has nominated community across six different categories: coaching, allyship, innovation, media, leadership. And then we also are going to be recognizing the sports that participate in the Pride in Sport Index, which is our best practice benchmarking program. So we will be awarding the Sporting Organisation of the Year, our Community Sporting Organisation of the Year. We'll also be recognising those sports that have achieved a gold, silver or bronze or platinum tier in the index, showing progress towards best practice, which is fantastic. And one of my favourite awards of the night is our Most Improved Sporting Organisation, which is going to recognise a sport that's really done the hard work in the last 12 months and made a huge leap forward towards best practice.
Now, just looking at this year's finalists, you got from national organisations like the AFL to community clubs. What does that range of nominees tell us about how inclusion is evolving in Australian sport?
I think it tells us that we're getting a few things right, and everyone is starting to recognise that inclusion should not sit out the side of a community or out the side of an organisation. Inclusion needs to be a part of our culture and a part of our practice at all types of organisations and at all levels of those organisations. So as you said, I'm so excited that we have community clubs sitting alongside professional teams, and we have some very, very small national sports and some very, very strong national sports, all contributing to, you know, this body of knowledge and this body of experience and, you know, a really confident future for inclusion in sport. It doesn't always feel, though, as though we're doing a great job or we're making the strides that we want to, but these awards are a fantastic opportunity to celebrate some people who are working really, really hard and delivering some really impressive results across the country.
And I'm pleased to see Jacqueline Shields nominated for Joy 94.9 under the Positive Media Award. She does a great job, brings everyone together.
She does an amazing job, and I think particularly in the last 12 months, the Sport with Pride and Joy exhibition at the Victorian Pride Centre and then out to Dalesford, that exhibition was a huge piece of work. And the way it brought together so many different sports across multiple types of media, it's a great example of what can be done with tenacity and courage and commitment. So very happy to see Jacqueline's name up there next to the Daily Oz for their work covering the Mitch Brown story last year. Nathan Davis from Surf Life Saving Australia, incredible storytelling work. Bringing communities together, and Dina Currie from Q News, who is an absolute community legend, is also one of these people who's out there telling stories every day and helping to shift the culture within LGBTQ communities and the way it connects with sport, but also more broadly across the whole community.
Ben, I'm so glad that I'm not the one making the decision, because I reckon it's going to be really hard.
It is. I actually am also, I'm not that person either. We formed a selection panel with experts from community organizations, and they have been tasked with making what is an impossible choice. And I would say congratulations to everyone who was recognized today as a finalist. That information's on our Instagram and on our website, and hopefully it'll be picked up by Q News, and it's already been picked up by Joy. But look, if you're even named in this list, then you are a leader and a change maker in sport, and you should be incredibly proud of this. And it'll be great to gather with those groups on the 14th of April in Centrepiece at Melbourne Park. And I really hope that every one of them already feels like a champion. No one should be disappointed at the Pride in Sport Awards, although, as you point out, there are some very, very tough decisions.
You need more awards. Ben, great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Talk again soon.
Thank you. That was Ben Cork, National Program Manager at Pride in Sport.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.